Good. Well, thank you very much. Please turn to Philippians chapter 1, if you will. A bit dark up here. No, thank you. Appreciate that. It's really good to be here. I didn't realize it was a Sunday school, so I've took my jacket off and I'm having trouble with my back, so I might sit down and I might not. When our brother was, has he gone? He's gone. Oh, good. I can say what I like about him. When our brother was holding forth up here, I thought, boy, it's typical. He's just like an old man. He's learned all these things over the years. And he just can't stop sharing them. And they're in his heart and they keep coming out. And I think, you know what? It's great. It's lovely. Because he has no axe to grind. He doesn't have to prove himself or anything like that. He just knows these things are true. And so he's going to do his best to encourage the saints as best he can. So he keeps on saying them. So it doesn't worry me or bother me at all that he said those things. But when he was standing up there, he said something about this being the Lord's birthday. And he said, does it offend you? And he looked straight at me. So I said, yes. Well, I wasn't really offended. But I remember when I was a kid, one of my favourite Christmas carol was "In the bleak midwinter, frosty winds made moan. Earth stood hard as iron, water like a stone. Snow on snow on snow, in the bleak midwinter long ago." And I really like that, except it was absolutely preposterous. It was not true. It didn't happen. There was no snow, there was no water like a stone, there was no bleak midwinter or any of those kind of things. There were no wise men in the stable at all. Well, there might be wise men, but they weren't magi. There was no star hovering above. That came a couple of years later. And there was no drummer boy beating on a drum, waking the kid up. I mean, it was just kind of, the whole thing is absurd. And in fact, it's just, when you look at the Christmas and you look at what's real, is there's a complete disconnect. It's not the same at all, you know. And by the way, I love Christmas. I love the Christmas lights. I love Christmas trees. I love Christmas food. All of that. And I had a fantastic Christmas. But as I said in the first meeting, I was really struck by the absence of what the real meaning is. And even the Christmas service that I went to a couple, but the one of them, It was great in every way. No mention of sin and salvation. You know, subtle. It all looks so good. But the real problem is that we are separated from God by our sin. And that's why Christ came. You know, and I like all the merry stuff. But hey, let's not get away from what the real truth is. So, when I came last time, I had a three-point message and didn't get past the first point, which was kind of pathetic. So Peter said I should continue on again. So I thought, well, I've got 3 points today and I probably won't get past the first one. But that's not the point. The point is, what can the Lord do? What can the Lord say to us? And I want to be real honest with you, if I can. It's amazing. It's 2024 already in New Zealand. The years have gone by so fast. I'm 82. I had cancer about 7 or 8 years ago. And I'm diabetic. I've got high blood pressure and AFib and goodness knows what else. I don't know. I'm like most old people. I'm kept alive by medication. And that's okay, because I just want to serve the Lord. And by the way, one of the things that I do in serving the Lord is I'm vice chairman of the board at Guelph. And I really, really, really want to ask your prayer for the work at Guelph. We are looking to replace Ken and Peggy, which is a very, very, very sad thing, because they are just brilliant and have been superb. So there's nothing negative as far as their point is concerned. We've got two possibilities at the moment. and we're going to be working on them in the next week, couple of weeks, meeting with them and so forth and so on. But we really, really need prayer, because one is very attractive because of their technical abilities and abilities for the camp. The others, it'd be a tough go. And which way to go with this thing? We just need the Lord to draw our hearts together on that. So, Philippians chapter 1. But I want you to, if you will, before you do that, is to turn back to the book of Acts and chapter 16. And in verse 16, I think. Verse 4, let's go to verse 14. Or better yet, let's go to verse 12. And from there to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was accustomed to be made. And we sat down and spoke unto the women who resorted there. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. And she attended unto the things which were spoken by Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And that's the beginning of the church in Philippi. And the reason that I read that was because you can't hardly imagine a smaller, more different group than these women sitting by the river. And I've been thinking about that a lot, that this was a small group, and Paul was interested in them and wanted to share some spiritual truth with them. And I got thinking about that as far as such places as Eagle Street. Many small assemblies, just a small group of people. And I want us to know and to understand that the Lord is interested in us small groups. He knows, he cares, he understands, he knows each and every one of us, and he has some thoughts about us. In fact, we're told back in the in earlier on in the Old Testament tells us that his thoughts are more than the sand on the sea. So he knows and cares about each one of us. But what I want to do this morning is look at something to do with if you want, I'm just going to include myself with you this morning, with us as a group. You know, lots of things going outside, but what does God want to do? This is the end of the year, and if you want a New Year's message, if you want, and the only thing new about it is the date, which has already changed in New Zealand, as I said, and so there's not much else new under the sun. But what is it? What does he care? And Paul wrote this touching letter to the assembly in Philippi, specifically to the elders, the deacons, and the saints. Let's be clear about this. There are no other groups, if you want, in the New Testament church. There's one group, and they're all saints. All of us are saints. Within that group are elders, who are the under shepherds of the Lord, and deacons and deaconesses who serve in other ways. But all saints and all on the same level. And they were believers, and Paul, what he wanted was to see them grow in the Lord. Now, I don't know if you've made your New Year's resolutions yet, for New Year. And if you have, I want to encourage you to tear them up and throw them away, because you don't really need New Year's resolutions. What you need to do is walk with the Lord and let him direct you every day. Or you can have New Year's resolutions and fail in the next 3 days. Whichever you want, you just do whatever you want to do. But I don't recommend making New Year's resolutions, because if I make them, it ain't gonna work. So I have to say, Lord, okay, it's got to be about you. So I just encourage you to walk with the Lord. And in his letter to the Philippians, Paul encourages them to stand fast, to be of the same mind. to rejoice in the Lord always, to experience the peace of God which passes all understanding, which will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He constantly focuses on the Lord. And there is so much precious teaching in various areas in this letter to the Philippians. But I want to highlight one very, very important subject, and that is spiritual growth. And listen, guys, he wants every single one of us, young and old, however long you've been saved, whoever you are, he wants you to grow spiritually. And the one amazing thing is that I'm now 82. I know it's amazing, but I still need to grow. Now, you'd think that you'd have arrived by the time you got to 82. Shoot, that didn't happen. So I will probably live till I'm 150 or so, just because I'm a bit slow in growing. So the Lord's going to take all that time to grow me up. Or it's too late. But Paul told the Corinthians, he said, anyone who thinks he knows anything knows nothing yet as he ought to know. Right. And you look back and you read and read and read and study and study and study and think, oh my word, you know, I should have known this years and years and years ago. But the Lord's gracious, the Lord's loving, and he can restore the years the locusts have eaten for sure. So I'm going to give you three things just to be thinking about. Well, no, I have three things. Whether I get to them or not is another matter. And then Peter will get on my case. And by the way, I noticed that he's avoiding me again, the second time lately. Must be too challenging for him, I don't know. But I'm going to start off with the one. But I'm going to tell you what they all are, because that way at least I can say, well, I did tell you, and you can study up. But number one is this, that God has a definite plan in view, okay? God has a definite plan in view. So you and I don't know what next year is going to bring. I'll tell you what, but as far as the Lord and you are concerned, he has a definite plan in view for you. And he also has a definite purpose in view. We'll look at that too, if we get some time. And the most important one is that he has a definite person in view. Okay, so he has a definite plan, a definite purpose, and a definite person in view. Most important. And these three things you can ponder on and fill the details in if you want. But the first thing is that is being confident of this very thing. Verse 6, well-known verse, that you know that we are confident, we should be confident, we need to be confident, we need to believe what the word says, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Huister, which is a favorite Greek scholar of mine, he wrote it this way. He says, having come to this settled and firm persuasion concerning this very thing, namely that he who began a good work, which is a work which is good, will bring it to a successful conclusion right up to the day of Jesus Christ. So whichever way or translation you want to use it, the fact is, number one, is that according to this word, God's word, we can be very confident in the fact that God has begun a good work in you. Now, what I want to encourage you to do is make this a personal thing. One of the things the enemy does is he loves to say, well, yeah, that's okay for the preachers and the teachers and the elders and the conference speakers and all of those out of sight. Yeah, we're all the same. We're all on the same level. The Lord is working in our hearts. And I want you to right off the bat, think back to the day you got saved or shortly thereafter and ask yourself the question. He says that he has begun a good work in you. Can you look back in your own mind, not somebody else's, in your own mind, and say, okay, well, in what way did the Lord begin a good work in me? What did he do? What was the first thing he taught get my attention on? What was the first evidence in my heart and life where the Lord knocked on the door, as it were, said, wait a second. I'll give you an example. I got saved on October the 15th, 1957, which is a long time ago. I worked in an agricultural engineering establishment. I cycled the 3 miles through the country to work the next day, and I used to smoke senior service cigarettes. And I lit the first cigarette on the way to work. I remember the exact place. I lit it up and threw it away. Just threw it away for no reason at all. I don't know why I threw it away. I didn't think, oh, I'm religious now or something like that. Never even thought about it. I just threw it away, which was foolish. But then I get into the engineering establishment, and I worked with a bunch of guys, and they used all kinds of languages that you could imagine, and crew talk and so forth and so on. And so I just carried on as normal and began to do the same thing as I always did. I was part of the gang. And guess what? All of a sudden, something in here is saying, whoa, what? You know, and it was quite amazing. And it wasn't, okay, yes, Lord, I recognize your voice, and I remember reading that verse. No. It's like, oh, see. But throughout the day, I realized something really had happened the night before. Something had happened. And guess what? It was the fact that I was now indwelt by the Spirit of God. And it doesn't mean to say, and it didn't mean with you either, it didn't mean to say that, oh my word, all of a sudden you're perfect in every which way. In some ways, yes, you were set apart from the penalty of sin by what Christ did on Calvary's cross. That's absolutely true, that had happened. But in terms of who you were, I was still a young man, 17, and still living in the flesh, and full of all the desires and things that the old flesh is. And see, that was the first evidence. And I remember later on, working in the same establishment, some rock music came onto the radio. And so I began to sing along with it. And this voice said, it wasn't an audible voice, but just kind of, you don't need that. But I said, no, I do. I want that. I'm going to have that. Yes, and I also got 4 years walking away from the Lord as well. 4 years. 4 years. Why? Because the Lord was telling me, not you, me, no, that's not the scene for you. I said, no, the Lord has something far, far better. The Lord was looking down the road to where I'd be standing in this pulpit. See? And that didn't fit with this. And that was just and all through the years, the one thing we can be confident of, this thing, that God, who has begun a good work in you, won't stop until the day of Jesus Christ. Which means that if you're sensitive and if you're walking with the Lord, if you want to walk with the Lord in 2024, I'll tell you what, he's got a lot to teach you. Great, wonderful things. Truths to bring out. I mean, and I don't care who you are, what your background is. If you have belonged to the Lord, he's going to teach you. He wants to teach you. He wants to bring thoughts to mind. And I love that. Now then, here's the thing. You need to grasp hold of this with both hands. And the first step to bringing the good work is that he has given us the good worker. Okay? The first step in beginning the good work is that he has given us the good worker. And you know who that is? The Holy Spirit. Exactly. Now, you may be interested to know that I'm not charismatic. I'm not Pentecostal, but I've got some lovely people who I love who are Pentecostal. But in terms of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to be speaking on this at Bethel for a month, in February, the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the... come on in, my friend, have a seat. You're welcome. Man, Lord, I'll tell you what, we have plenty of spare seats, and we're very welcoming here. And it's just Sunday school, so you're welcome. February, I'm taking the whole month to speak on the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the Age of Grace. Okay? And that's a very, very important subject, which I'm going to enjoy doing. But briefly here now, you and I, as believers, as new believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, not based on how good of a person you are, how wonderful you behaved and all that, but based on the fact that you have now been set apart from the penalty of sin. And he has begun the process of setting you apart from the power of sin, that daily working, as it were. And eventually he will set you apart from the actual presence of sin. And it's a very simple thing. It wasn't my outline, somebody else's outline many, 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 many years ago. But I wonder if you will to turn to the John chapter 16. And this is very, very important. If you're going to ground yourself in the Word, you need to have Scripture to base it on. For example, are you saved? He that has the Son has life. He that does not have the Son does not have life, but the wrath of God abides on him. End of story. That's how it is. That's what the Word of God says. And salvation is through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. Come and sit down, my friend. We would love to have you sit with us. You're very, very welcome. So it's important not to have our own ideas, as it were, unless you've got the Word of God to back them up. So the Lord, who spent 3 years with his disciples, they walked with him, they talked with him, they were with him the whole time. And he taught them. He was with them physically. But the time was going to come when he said, no, he said, I'm going to go away. Verse 7 of chapter 16 says this. You need to base your thinking on the Word of God. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Not it, him. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Now then, I am privileged to do a lot of witnessing. The Lord brings all kinds of people across my mind, across my path, rather, and I've come to the conclusion that I can't witness. I've remembered this verse here. The Holy Spirit is the one who's going to witness, you see, and it says that he will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Not you, not me. We're supposed to be vessels that are fit for the Master's use, okay? So he's going to work in and through us. He'll work through us, okay? But here's the thing as far as you and I are concerned. He was with them, and he said, you know, I've got lots of things to tell you. Can you imagine having the Lord Jesus Christ walking alongside us and stuff like that? And him all of a sudden just unloading on us and telling us everything we need to know about ourselves. We would be crushed. We couldn't handle it. It wouldn't be possible for us to endure it. But he said this. He said, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. You couldn't handle it. I can't handle all the things the Lord needs to do in my mind, my heart and mind, for the next 15, 25 years of my life. Or 15, 25 days, whichever the case may be. But he says this, nevertheless, very important word, nevertheless, when he, by the way, the personal pronoun he is used some 10 times in these next two or three verses. When he, the Spirit of truth is come, he's going to do a number of things for you. Remember this, that according to the Word of God, not according to Ray Jones' theology, but according to the Word of God, every believer is indwelt by the Spirit of God. Your body is the temple, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, we are told. So verse 13, nevertheless, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. Whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that I shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. So let's just go through that list a little bit. And this is what the Word of God says. And I think of Ralph standing there sharing all of these things that come to his mind. Well, where did he get all that from? Where did he get these ideas from? Where did he get these thoughts from? Well, the Lord's been teaching him all over these years. The Lord taught him things through the death of his daughter, stuff that we just can hardly imagine. It grieves me to even think about it, and I haven't had to go through that. Then loses his precious wife. I had cancer about 8 years ago, and guess what? The Lord taught us a real lot through that, both of us. And he continues to teach us. But the first thing is that he, and I've already mentioned this, so I'm not going to dwell on it. Tell me that clock's not right. It's not right, is it? What time do you finish?
When you're done.
Yeah, right. You do not want to say that. Are you kidding?
No, sir.
I've spoken from 8 in the morning till noon before now with a break in between. Okay. Well, that's the first point of 6 points, 5 points for this. Anyway, so I was just kind of finished off on the first one. What a deal. So, first thing is, he will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, not you. I've always said that. He, listen to this, he will guide you into all truth, okay? That's a very, very important one, because there's all kinds of cults out there. There's all kinds of people who don't believe in the deity of Christ. And I've been watching a series on YouTube about the Mormons and stuff, and it's staggering, the nonsense that they come up with. Absolutely staggering. And there's lots of beliefs. So how can we understand the truth? Well, the first thing is we need to be in a Bible teaching assembly such as this, for example. We need to be in a solid Bible believing assembly with good leadership. And we need to keep being taught the Word of God. Now, I appreciated the music this morning because it was very pleasant and well done. Some places I can't hardly stand the noise, but it was very pleasant. But the main thing is what we sing according to the Word of God is what is taught according to the Word of God. Is that what it says? And I'm telling you that as far as the Word of God says, it says about you is that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, will show you all truth. He will lead you into truth. So you don't understand something. The first thing you do is say, Lord, I don't understand that. A good prayer is help. I don't understand, Lord. And if you're not saved, the first thing that happens is you get saved by grace through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. And when we believe that he died for me personally, we then receive the indwelling Spirit of God who begins to teach us babies in Christ spiritual truth. Lots of people are confused about the Lord's return. And there was a lot said about that in the first meeting this morning. All, as far as I could understand, was accurate. Well, it must be because they agree with me. It says, he will show you things to come. Well, if you don't understand eschatology or the Lord's return, tell the Lord, I don't understand. Because some believe the Lord is going to come halfway through the tribulation, before the tribulation, something's going to pan out anyway. I mean, all of these kind of things. But what does the Word of God say? Well, one of the brethren here read some excellent verses that clearly said when it's going to happen, as far as I can see. And another thing is that the Holy Spirit will glorify me. There are groups of people, and their whole attempt to glorify the Holy Spirit. But his ministry during this age is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He's not inferior to, that's not the point. He has a purpose. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit have a purpose during this present dispensation, this age. And whatever he shall hear, that will he speak. Well, where's he going to hear it from? God the Father, God the Son. All three are in agreement regarding you personally. And I keep saying you personally because you need to understand that God is interested in you personally. However young, old, whatever you are, interested in you personally. And he says this, he says, he shall receive of mine. Literally, he shall take it from me. He's going to receive from him. And so all the while, there's this union between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who's going to teach you what you need to know. So in terms of a New Year's resolution, if I were you, I would just say, okay, Lord, you teach me. That'd be the best thing to do. Let him to do it in his way. And you expose yourself to do the four things that are laid out in Acts chapter 2. Study the word, fellowship, break bread, remember the Lord, and pray together. Simple as that. It is so simple. It is so simple. And it says, that, and he shall show it to you. He shall show it to you. In other words, literally, he shall announce it or communicate it to you. And basically, that's the first point. He has a definite plan, and it's your spiritual growth, and it's going to be done through the Holy Spirit, and I can't believe the time is what it is. So we're done. Don't tell Peter that I failed again, okay? But let's leave it at that, and let's say, look, okay, here's the thing. We're going to move into 2024. I have no resolutions. You know, I don't even know if I'm going to live to 2024. Like I said, I'm 82. I don't know. To me, it doesn't matter either because you know, I'm going to be with the Lord when I die. But the thing is, we can move forward. And the most important thing we can do is listen to that question in Acts chapter 2 where those Jewish scribes and Pharisees, they got saved. They trusted Christ as their own personal Savior, right? And they said this. They said, what shall we do? What shall we do? He said, repent. In other words, change your mind on the basis of things you've heard. And what you've heard is that Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross for your sins personally. So you need to trust him as your own Savior. Then you will receive the Holy Spirit who will teach you and lead you and guide you into all of these things. And from then on, you study the Word of God. You fellowship together with believers who believe in the Word of God. You gather together to remember the Lord, and you pray together. And listen, folks, when you've got all that straightened out and you've done all that perfectly, then you can come up with any other than a multitude of ideas that are out there amongst the Lord's people. And you never will, so I'm safe with that. Sorry for the time. Let's just close in prayer. God and Father, we thank you so much for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we freely acknowledge that we cannot save ourselves. It's all of what you've done on Calvary's cross. And we pray, Lord, that you would teach us and lead us and grow us up together. We need you, Lord, in the worst way. We need you, Lord. We need you every hour. And I pray, Lord, for this precious assembly. Bless and encourage every single one of them. I pray, and as we go downstairs, wherever, for lunch, just want to commit that to you. Thank you, Lord, for providing for us so adequately and so well. We love you, Lord. We pray, Lord, as we go into 2024, it will be with open hands and open hearts as we allow your Spirit of God to lead us and to guide us into all truth for the honor and glory, our Lord and Savior of you, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen.